talking about living well in your season, how to live well. And it's a good question. How do you live blessed in life throughout your life when you're facing different seasons? And seasons that can be good, seasons of plenty, and then seasons sometimes not so good, seasons that are scarcity and trouble unfolds. And how can you live life knowing in every season, whether good or bad, that you can know God's blessing in that. And you can just be walking forward in victory and just knowing the strength, even though there's pressures upon you. How do we do that? Well, I want to kind of look at that. We've been looking at that question because we do face seasons, as in the natural, the four seasons of the year, the rhythm of nature in life that God put in place, the four seasons. Not that we have four seasons in Gladstone, it's just usually hot or cold. But other countries apparently have, definite autumns and springs. We just don't. Not as clear of that. So in our lives, we're at different stages and ages, aren't we? Everyone who's a grandparent here, remember the stage when you were like just little children you had running around your feet, and now you've got them back again. I say that with all due respect to my family here. But it's wonderful, isn't it? There's all different stages that we go through. But not only different stages and ages, we also go through different stages in our circumstances. Because circumstances we can have times of plenty, as I mentioned, also times when there doesn't just seem much to go around. There's times when, we're working hard on relationships that aren't going so well, or maybe there's some financial stress and finances are down at that moment, or then other seasons they've been up, and so it's been difficulty. There's been work available, and other times not work available. So we go through different circumstances in our lives, or a whole lot of reasons. And I'm very aware of that. The plenty, the pleasures, the struggles, the strivings, all of that stuff. And I love what God's word says, because God spoke through these men and women of the Old Testament, and one was Jeremiah. What a great name. You've got a grandson named that. But Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 to 8, and it just says this, what God spoke through Jeremiah: "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." I love that. Whose confidence is in God. Blessed is the person who's trusting in the Lord. These days we can trust in a lot of things. We can trust in our bank balance, our stuff, the things we own. As long as I've got that, I'm happy. If I haven't got that, if that got taken away, what would be life like? Who knows the reality is you can't take any of that stuff with you. I've done a lot of funerals in my life. I've never seen a hearse with a trailer behind it and everybody's belongings who's died is going to take it. Well, you can't take it with you, can you? And so sometimes we trust in ourselves. We're kind of like, you're probably a gifted, intelligent person here, and say, well, I've got it. I've got some good things. And praise God for that. But you need to acknowledge where those things come from. Because we can just trust in ourselves. We can just, I can do it. I've done it before. Until we come across a problem that we've never faced before and we've finally got to bow our knee and say, Heavenly Father, I need you right now. I pray that you'll do that sooner rather than later. Sometimes we just trust in other people. Other people build us up, encourage us, and praise God for that. We need that type of stuff, encouragement. But other people can go out of our lives and come into our lives. And in the end, you've got to have your identity in something greater than stuff or people or yourself. You've got to have identity what God spoke through Jeremiah is the one who trusts in God and trusts in the Lord. Yielding to him, leaning into him. And then the verse goes on to say that they will be, what they'll be like? Those who trust in God will be like this. They'll be like a tree planted, not a pot plant. Pot plant just gets moved around. But unmovable, a tree that's unmovable, a tree that's steadfast, a tree that knows how to hold its ground in the good and bad seasons. And then it says, by the waters, this tree will be planted by the waters that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. In other words, when the season changes, the people who trust in the Lord, they don't allow fear or anxiety or concern to overcome them. We all will have those moments of anxiety, but we don't allow that to overcome us. Do you know one of the biggest killers is anxiety these days? not the biggest, but one, where people get so stressed, it affects their body, starts to affect their organs, starts to affect their heart. You know that what I'm saying? You know, the happiest people, some of the healthiest people are the happiest people, not because they don't go through a problem, it's just that they keep their peace in the midst of the problem. And so we see the scriptures just talking about that. It's talking about having, you know, never allowing anxiety, fear to rule in our hearts. And then it goes on to say, its leaves are always green, evergreen. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So we see this passage, God acknowledges that there are seasons in life, but we learn how to trust in the Lord, how to keep a green leaf, not get browned off over life. With every seasonal change, we stay immovable. We know how to bear fruit in the dry season, know how to keep an attitude of faith while others have anxiety or concerns. We know how to do that, or we've learned something. And we need to understand, how can we do that? Is that truly possible? Through the ups, ebbs and flows, ups and downs of life, the seasons of life that we go through and the seasons of circumstance, to really live blessed in every season, no matter what you're going through? Oh, I believe it is, because the scriptures say that. And I believe that's possible for those who would believe in the Lord. Because, folks, I don't want to bow to the pressures of the season. I want to live by the principles of of our Heavenly Father. The principles that He has put in place in His Scripture. The God-led, Spirit-led life that He wants me to lead. I want to be led by that. I don't want to be led by the ups and downs of every season. Because it doesn't do me any good. I've tried it for, you know, courtesy of the fact that, you know, we all get on and we think, yeah, I don't need to live that. And as we get older, we don't need to get old and grumpy. We need to get good and happy. We need to get better and better and better. I think it's possible. And God wants to bless us through every season. And so to do that, I wanted to draw our attention to Joseph. It's an Old Testament character. And the truth is, this guy, of all the people, his life is documented, possibly nearly as much as David, but his life is documented so clearly in Scripture through Genesis. And it talks about his life and how he didn't live to bow to the pressures of his life, but he lived to bow to the principles of what he believed God had for him to do. And he saw blessing in every season. And I love Joseph's life. He saw the ups and downs. He had some downs. He had some desperate struggles. And yet he saw, in the end, some incredible generational blessing upon him and his family. And so we want to look at that. And Joseph's life in the context of seasons and living well in our season. And it says, at the back, and if we were to look at the backstory of Joseph's life, let me give you the 35-second version of it. Joseph was the 11th brother of 12 brothers. Joseph had a dad called Jacob, whose name later became Israel, which became the nation of Israel. And Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel. So Joseph was born to Rachel, and Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife. And Joseph was Jacob's favorite son, and so Joseph was the favorite son born to the favorite wife. Who knows who wouldn't want to be there in the family? That's a good place to be. His father gave him a coat of many colors. Want to create some struggle in your family and dysfunction? Just give your favorite son, lavish him with stuff, and watch what the other sons do. Well, they got really angry, and they got to a point where they actually started to hate Joseph. And the favoritism that was showed to him didn't help the situation. At the age of 17, he lacked some wisdom, and he had a dream. And the dream was that his brothers would bow to him one day and he'd become the prominent brother. And then he had another dream that his parents would bow to him one day. And so he told these two dreams. And look, if I was Joseph, probably in hindsight, it's easy for me to say this, but I probably would have shut up. But he told the dreams to the other 11 brothers. And now they just didn't dislike him. They kind of started to hate him, and they conceived a plan to kill him. To murder him, to get rid of him. Their hatred. Can you appreciate when family dysfunction gets to that point, it's pretty bad? When one sibling wants to murder the other? I know that you've grown up, you know, you and your brother have probably thought you were going to murder each other, but you know what, it was just a bit of a fight, you know. But this is real definite, like, we're going to get rid of this boy. We had it. And so they conceived the plan, and just at the last moment, they didn't murder him. They threw him in a pit and eventually sold him to some Ishmaelites, and they were slave traders that went into Egypt. And so Joseph found himself being sold to them, and he went into Egypt and was bought by a governor of Egypt called Potiphar and was brought into Potiphar's household. And so the story there, we now see what starts to erupt is that we see Joseph went through some incredibly desperate challenges and seasons that we could say were incredibly difficult for him, and yet at the same time we see some incredible, and eventually in each season there was great blessing that was determined by Joseph's attitude and how he handled all the down seasons. We see blessing in his life. Is that cool? So just quickly recapping, last week we talked about what was one of the most prominent kind of attitudes, one of the most things that we can do in our seasons of good and bad. And we talked about initiative. We see Joseph had bad days, and he learned that no matter how bad it gets, you can't take away my power to do something good in the midst of all the bad. Would you agree? In the midst of the bad, what can you do? You can still got initiative to do something good. And that's called having initiative. And Joseph was the best of the slaves in Potiphar's house because he saw that he could do what he could do, and he didn't look at what he couldn't do. He didn't complain. He didn't grumble, even though he probably had every right, and yet he took initiative. So it's a good thing. I think it's in the season, you've got to continue to see what you can do, whether it's good or bad. Okay? Some of us are going through seasons right now that are not nice. It's a struggle. And you don't want to tell you know, look up. See, our God is a God that we can have confidence in and we can trust, and he's got something you can do. Something you can do in the midst of it, hey? It mightn't be nice at the moment, but there is something you can do. I remember, and maybe this is just something for somebody, when our first child was 4 months old, and you know, I know some of you heard the story, but I just feel it's for someone today. We were facing a terrible situation of of our first child. We were told by a gynecologist that our child has a big chance of being disabled. And they talked about Down syndrome, spina bifida, all these type of things. And you know, and then we were told, and as we sat there opposite the gynecologist, he was just doing his job. We didn't judge him wrong. He just said, well, you can abort the child. You can just abort it. It'll be legal. You can abort the child. Because we can see by the ultrasounds and the scans that this child has definitely got something that's not quite right. And we're like, okay. And so we just thanked God. We didn't give him an answer. We went home. We cried in each other's arms. And then we cried out to God. It was a season that wasn't exciting. It was really difficult for that week. It was really difficult. And we gave it to God. And as we gave it to God, we didn't go back to the doctor. We just believed. And we had another doctor who followed up through. And she had something of a faith. And we just trusted. And so when the child was born, praise God, the child was normal. Now, did God change do something in the womb? Maybe. Was the child never disformed anyway? Possibly. Who knows? I'll get to heaven and I'll say, God, have you got a minute? I just want, remember that time? what happened there? But anyway, I just want to say that, you know, when we, you know, it's amazing how God can be your strength and support in the most difficult times. Because we went into that birthing suite, and I'd forgotten 5 months earlier what the doctor had said to us, that this child, I'd actually forgotten. How does that happen? And then the child was born, and then we remembered, oh, this was the child that they said was, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, it didn't happen. Well, that lady, that little girl is now 32 and just had her own little girl. It's a week old, yesterday. So, and she's got two children. So praise God for that. And she loves the Lord and her husband. And so, praise God. So what are we talking about? Initiative. What is that what we're talking about? Sorry. Oh, look at the time. Stewardship. The second one was steward. Because, you know, I just wanted to tell you this. Joseph learned how to steward wealth and stuff, even though it wasn't his stuff. It was Potiphar's stuff. And you know, we're like Joseph, where we have wealth and finance and income and all that, but it's not us, because everything in the says in the scriptures, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it is his. So He's the owner, we're the steward. And I hope you could see that, you know, we need to be wise at every season, because I see people in some seasons are not wise in how they handle their finance, because in the good seasons they spend up where they maybe should have just invested and be wise about what they do and keep a little bit and save a bit. And so you've got to be wise. And so we see in seasons financially we need to be wise, good stewards. The third thing, and here's the point, those are the other two, they're for free, they were just from last week. Here's the third one, the principle, here's another principle, because there are times, there's times when we can choose the things that we want in life, and there's times we don't choose the things, we don't have any say over the things. We don't choose the nation we were born in, we don't choose the genetics of our body, the color of our hair, the color of our eyes, we don't even choose the family we're born into. And sometimes the reality is that some people are born with more privilege than others. And I want to say that's a reality. And so it's true. Life doesn't give us all equal hands, okay? But I want to say it's equally true that every single one of us have the power to choose how to be diligent with the things that we do have. Here's my third point. It's simply this, the principle of diligence. Every one of us have an opportunity to be diligent with what we've been gifted or given or have in life. You might say, I haven't got much. Well, once again, why don't you take the little you have and start to see what you can do? It's being diligent. And I love this about Joseph, because the truth is, in one day, his opportunity to be diligent with stuff and live life was narrowed extremely, because he went from a pretty wealthy family, a loving parents, and you know, had all that he needed, food, everything he needed, sold into slavery in one day, and ended up within that week as a slave in someone else's house in another land. His options and opportunities to be diligent were very much narrowed. But who knows? Joseph said, "You know what? I'm in this situation. I'm going to look what I can do." And he was diligent with what he could do. I love the reality of Joseph. Come on. And it just says in Genesis 39:3 about Joseph, "And his master Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand." Did you notice that? All that Joseph, what? Did. It says all that he did. Joseph was faithful what he could do in Potiphar's house. Joseph was, you know, he could see what he could do. He didn't see what I said this last week, but he could have every right to say, well, blow this. God's left me here. I'm, you know, sold into slavery. Now I'm in someone else. I'm in a foreign land. Don't even speak the language. But he didn't. He says, I'm going to be diligent with what I have. I'm going to see what I can do. Genesis 39:22, we see that what happened was, transpired at Potiphar's house, is that he got accused falsely of rape. Potiphar's wife did that. He didn't do anything wrong, and then he was thrown in prison. You've got to say, he went from, you know, but even in Potiphar's house, he flourished and became the head servant. Now he's in prison, and once again, Joseph is set about, and he does what he can do. Verse 22 of Genesis 39, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing, talking about Joseph. Joseph was too icy in the prison. Can you see every season Joseph is finding a place and he's getting blessed, because he's applying himself. He's applying, what I say, initiative, stewardship, but also diligence. Just applying himself to what he could. Here's what we learned from the situation of Joseph's life. It looked like Joseph had not many opportunities, but he found where the opportunities were, and he was diligent to apply himself. And whatever we learn throughout Scripture, throughout life, if you are diligent with the small opportunities now, God is faithful to give you more and more opportunities. Did you know that? And when we see Joseph as second in charge of the most powerful nation on earth, eventually he got pulled out of prison and was too IC to Pharaoh. How did he get there? How did he get there when he was there so low in a prison? How did he get there? Well, it all started when he was diligent in Potiphar's house as a servant. At times, I've discovered God... let me say this first. God looks for faithfulness and diligence with what we've got. Instead of complaining about what we haven't got, we should just be look at what we've got and what I can do. What I can do, hey? At times we can pray for blessing for those, and those blessings don't seem to come. You ever had that happen? God, I just need this blessing. I need blessing. Nothing wrong with asking. And it doesn't happen. And I would suggest to you that God doesn't give us blessing sometimes, but we does give us blessing, but we don't recognize it. Because the truth is, what it comes as, the raw material of opportunity. Generally speaking, God doesn't give us tables, He gives us trees to make tables. You get the point? The raw material of opportunity. God doesn't give people music. Well, He does, but what He does, He gives us breath, brass, and wood, and creative gifting to be able to produce music. Do you know what I'm saying? Generally speaking, can you see God gives us the raw material of gifting and the raw material of opportunity and see what you can make of it? I think that's where faith starts. We say, Father, I'm just believing for this situation, believing for that situation. By faith in Jesus' name, I believe for it. And God, and sometimes we don't recognize the blessing, but He gives you an opportunity and we don't see it as because we just want to get to the Pharaoh's throne, or second in charge, but right now we're in Potiphar's house, or in the prison of Egypt. And we think, God, there's no, I just want that. And you say, well, God says, that's okay. I'm just going to build your character, build your life. And would you just take the opportunities you got? Because I want to see if you're faithful with the small, I'm going to give you faithful with the big. Wonderful. Well, I thought it was good. hallelujah. Let's move for the last point. There's only 2 points today. Here's the second principle, or the fourth really. Genesis 39:6. Thus he had left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the... Talking about Potiphar again. He did not know what he had except for the bread that he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Going on to verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Verse 8 of Genesis 39. And he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There was no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife, and how could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I love that thought right there, sin against God. Joseph doesn't say, how could I do this great wickedness against Potiphar? Of course he saw it as a wickedness against his master. But ultimately, his confidence wasn't in a man who was his master. His confidence was in a God who he did not want to sin against. Okay. And sin against God. See that? And so the point that I want to make here, the principle that we want to see here about Joseph is the principle of integrity. The principle of integrity. Potiphar's wife is proposing, let's be honest, is proposing adultery with Joseph. And can we just think about it for a moment? Joseph is like a young man. He's got a wealthy woman flirting with him or wanting to flirt with him. She's not even kind of flirting. She's just going, just lie with me. She's just like straight up. And he's got red blood in his veins. Do you know what I mean? It's okay. You can think along these lines just for a moment. And of course, it would be wrong to be involved with his boss's wife, but nobody would have known. But it wouldn't be, you know, of course it's wrong. But life has been tough for Joseph, and maybe Joseph just needed a break and a bit of pleasure. But the truth is, if Joseph had that at that point compromised his integrity, his future would have been very different. Often when God has a plan for you, there's two things that want to destroy your life. It's your flesh, your desires, and the devil. One of the two. And sometimes the devil doesn't have to do too much because we've fed our flesh too much. And I want to encourage us today to see that it will if he can get you to compromise your integrity through your early years, he can nip your destiny in the bud. He can destroy your future. That's what will happen. That's what would happen, I think, somewhat to Joseph. And the greatest moment, this is my definition of integrity. The greatest moment of integrity is where you're by yourself, no one's watching, and you attempt it, and then you say, no, I'm not going to involve. Because Joseph, obviously Potiphar's wife, thought, no one needs to know. But Joseph knew that God would know. He didn't want to take his life down that path. Okay, let me name the big three in regards to integrity, and then we'll kind of close here. I'm going to invite the team up now if you could. That'd be great. Let me just, the big three in regards to integrity, financial integrity. Taking things, if we were to look at the simplest form of financial integrity, those little yellow notepads, and you think, oh, they cost so little, and I just need a pile of them at home, and you just take them home from work. Do you know, it seems so little, but you know what? That's the simplest form of integrity is just saying no, because if I'm not going to be faithful in, if I'm going to be unfaithful in taking that, who knows what I'll move to next? And so financial integrity, so important. So important in every aspect. Because if you're faithful with the little, it's amazing what God could put in your lap and how much he can give you so you can be faithful with that. Because I believe that we're all blessed to be a blessing with our finance. It's not for me ultimately. It comes through my hands, but it can go out again. So we need to see financial integrity is a biggie. Integrity of our sexuality. That is what Joseph was facing. He was being hit on by his boss's wife. And you know what? This kind of integrity can take many forms. It can be tested and trial and tempted in many forms. And we have to be aware of sexual compromise is lurking all the time with what we see and who we see and what we can be drawn into at vulnerable moments in our life. We need to be careful. A bit quiet, but that's a biggie. There's many good, beautiful Christian people have fallen in those areas. And I find it continually just keep yourself clean. Here's another one. Here's the third one. Integrity of selflessness. The opposite of selflessness is pride. And if the world or the devil can get you to have an inflated view of yourself or an ego that becomes too big, he'll try and take you out. And we start to have things like arrogance and selfishness and self-righteousness, and we'll not allow. And those things are like earmuffs. They don't allow you to hear when you're so caught up with my life, my stuff, my way, my righteousness, who I am, what I can do. It's like you never hear. It's a blockage to God's clear voice to your heart. And it's also, and ultimately, we then start to say, well, we don't ever serve God because we're so hell-bent on just sometimes our ego and what we need to do to keep it inflated. And are you okay this morning? It's a danger because the devil himself, if you read an Old Testament, was once an angel and he fell because of pride. Don't you think he wants to do the same to us? So I want to encourage us today. We've got to be careful. Joseph, the interesting thing about Joseph is that he did the right thing. He didn't sleep with his boss's wife. And he kept his integrity, but he was still accused and thrown into prison. Do you know you can do the right thing and still cop a bad result? But ultimately, you will come out with reaping a harvest. I want to tell you, keep your integrity. It takes pains to keep your integrity sometimes. It's painful to keep but keep your integrity. Do you know it says in 2 Corinthians, I'll share this verse, 8:21, for we are taking pains. Paul's saying, for we are taking pains to do what is what? Right. Not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. It's painful. It's painful sometimes to do the right thing. We need to do the right thing. It is fruitful. It's painful, but in the end it will be fruitful. Do you know, we'll just finish. I've got so many stories. So many stories to share. But I'm just skipping through that because I want you to know that in the seasons of life, don't bow to pressure. Bow to his principles to live life. Don't bow to the pressure of the terrible season. Bow to him and apply his principles of life. I call them principles. There might be something else for you. That's fine. To live wholeheartedly for God. To live sold out for him and his purposes. Yeah. You don't have to be some hermit up on a hill, some, you know, great, you know, philosopher and live up there the rest. No, no, no. Live where you are now for Jesus Christ. In your home, in your family, in your situation, in your workplace, just live for Him. And you know what? People start to see that you're different. There's something different. And you know, when you go through a difficult time, and they see you go through the difficult time, and yet you still come to work and you still have a smile, it isn't false, but it's based in an identity and who God is in you and not what the problem wants to consume you with. That I'm going to praise God anyway. People get attracted to that, I tell you. People get attracted to that. Can we stand together? Thank you this morning. Be patient. It's great to be able to share His word together. I just pray, my prayer is that there would be a passion in your heart for all that God has you for. You know, God has chosen you for His great purpose. Please don't walk away from His purpose. Don't walk away by getting involved and allowing fear to consume you or the problem to take over or integrity to be compromised or just being lazy. Just, can I say that? Just be diligent with where you are right now. Can I encourage you? Holy Spirit just wants to draw. You know, today, as we're just going to sing this last song, I'm first of all going to say, if you have to go, you're welcome to go. But I just want an opportunity just to pray with people this morning that just want to say, just more of you, God. Or maybe you're going through something of a season that's just difficult. And I believe in laying on the hands and the word of prophecy. And this morning we had a great meeting at 8:30, but I just want to see God touch lives right now. And so if you desire just to come forward for prayer for a moment, I'm going to invite you to do that while we sing this song. As I said, if you have to go, feel free to go, but you're welcome just to continue to worship just for another five or so minutes as we just honor Him before we go into the rest of this day. Go to lunch, whatever you're going to do, but for a moment, why don't you just come, if that's today, just to stand before Him and say, Father, just more, I need your wisdom and guidance. You're welcome today.